reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, text 30 of chapter 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Iti Pragayam Vatanam Munir Nijam. Ashikshayam Madhava Kirti Lampatam. Aho Pravittasi Mahatsavarnane. Prabhur Apiti Swaradai Vedasyatam. Sri Parikshit said, while singing enthusiastically in this way, the sage instructed his own tongue, which was greedy to chant the glories of Lord Madhava. Oh, you are too busy talking about the greatness of our master. To stop that tongue, he then seized it with his teeth. Commentary, in jest, Narada chastised his tongue for misbehaving. His tongue was sincerely relishing the pleasure of glorifying the moon, born from the ocean of the Madhu dynasty. But there was little hope to accomplish much by this attempt. Brahma with his four tongues and Ananta with his thousands had failed to fully describe the glories of Sri Madhava. How then could Narada's one insignificant tongue be so impotent as to try? Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanandana Tilakaya Daksurandavatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapritam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamaya Vedati Sapadantitam Vairagya Yud Bhakti Risham Tayatnai Apayama Manabipsamandam Kripam Buddhiya Paraduka Duti Sanatana Sam Tavamatriyami Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha vipashindhu bhayebhacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan on Sri Govardhan Puja. It's celebrated here locally on a different day than the ISKCON calendar. And both the temples in Vrindavan and Govardhan have wisely decided to celebrate it on the with the other people who are having that festival. And it is wonderful and glorious festival. Anyway, Nityananda went to meet a Giriraj Mistan Bandar. My Giriraj now has his own place in Govardhan, and he's very, very super, super happy. The worship is so nice. I mean, I can just go outside my door in the morning and just walk in the gardens and pick different flowers, and then we made little mountain of sweets from that famous sweet shop. And then went over to the temple, Gopi Pranadana gave class, then they have Gopuja, they worship the cows, and then they go to Govardhan, which never looked better. a very wonderful thing happened here. Some wealthy Krishna devotees, I don't know what line or sect they're from, but they installed some kind of sprinkler system so that Govardhan Hill is watered every day, not just the rainy season. So it's really lush and green, and the trees are blooming, and they planted grass all around. So there's beautiful lawns, and there's an incredible place, right practically up on the hill. You don't stand on the hill, but you get up there, and then there's a place where we hold the Govardhan Puja. And then at noon, we have the feast. It's wonderful to be with so many devotees I know. Of course, I'm always explaining, you know, the ecstasy that I'm in, but as we know, it's life for everyone. I remember Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj once gave an instruction, you know, on the material platform, those who are happy will be unhappy, and those who are unhappy will be happy. Everyone, happiness follows distress. Distress follows happiness, unless one comes to the transcendental platform. So now I'm in a more happy situation, at least externally. Things are nicer. I have a new place, which is just absolutely wonderful for me. And then in the future, it changes. That's for everyone. But it is very nice here, and especially this month. Wonderful Vaishnava, Vaisheshika Prabhu, really advanced. I could say that honestly, just no attachments and constantly engaged in Krishna Katha. And in his room every day from 4 to 7, he's staying in the king's quarters in the ISKCON ashram. And for that reason, a group of Vaishnavas congregates there, young and old, and just discuss and read and discuss and read and discuss and read. Jayadvaita Maharaj is there every day. It's so wonderful to hear his particular angle, perspective, and comments. Keshav Bharti Maharaj is very, very learned from all the editing he's doing. There's a very, very nice Vaishnava from Sweden, Krishna Maharaj, who I know for many, many years. And Godbrother Javi, who's actually quite a famous musician, and not just famous, but quite talented. And in the middle, he may just lead a wonderful kirtan. And it really gives you faith in the process. And not only the process, but in the way Prabhupada delivered it. How Prabhupada, I think this phrase is in English, cut to the chase, gets right to the essence. And it seeps in. The pure, simple message of pure devotional service, and when you're actually doing it. It was even hard for me to leave today because the time right now here is 6:30, and the class, I had to leave at 6:50. My place is about 5 minutes from there, but that's 6:50. And wonderful. Just wonderful. When I came in, I came a little bit late. There's a nice discussion going on about standing up for spiritual principles, taking a stand on spiritual principles, but at the same time maintaining the mood of a liberal Vaishnava. So just an interesting discussion from different perspectives. And then because some question came up yesterday about Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, we were just reading the wonderful pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. And I left just as he was about to take sannyas, and the the rich sentiments of separation of the devotees of Navadvipa. His immediate family was crying, and then people came to see, and they were crying. And then it was described the ceremony when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and the sentiments of separation when Lord Chaitanya cuts his hair. And he's so beautiful, and then his hair is being cut, he's renouncing the world, and at that moment I had to leave. But it really, really gives you real faith, and faith is everything. And again, I can't stress it more than enough that faith is not just I believe or I don't believe. It's a range of conviction based on your experience of the sublimity of bhakti, which sometimes, when we're not immersed in proper association, tends to recede, although that conviction stays in the subconscious. But when whatever conviction you have is brought to the forefront by really good sangha, really good association, and enhanced in that association, you really have life for bhakti. You really, it's, Devamrita Swami was there the other day. He's quite intelligent. You know, he was talking about exercising the choice muscle. And it's a very interesting concept because constantly we have choices. And a lot of times we just say, I'm not going to do that now. You know, but exercising that choice muscle and seeing it grow strong so you can make the proper choices. As we know by Hito Pradesh, a famous aphorism, our decisions determine our fate. What we are now is just our decisions in the past. And what we will be in the future will be our decisions now. So exercising that choice muscle. And now that I have this place, and I'm hoping other Vaishnavas will use it. But there's four similar places right next door, owned by the same person who gave me this. And I'm thinking sometime just offering to stay out of Govardhan when people visit, come out here and stay for a few days, and we just go to one place and just chant for the morning. And then you take prasad at the Govardhan Bhaktivedanta Ashram, which in terms of sadhu prasadam, I think it's the best in the world. It's what Prabhupada said, simple and sumptuous. The chapati, rice, dal, sabji, and this rice, dal, chapatis, and four not heavily spiced and not rich in oil or ghee, but extremely well-cooked variety of tasty vegetables. And then, you know, sweet rice, a little bit. So we can all take prasadam, and it's just wonderful Govardhan, chanting and hearing at Govardhan. Anyway, this was Govardhan Puja, and this is the end of it. Of course, you know, even this verse here, you know, is so nice, you know, Marge Prickett is describing. What he's describing Narada, and Narada's glorifying the Pandavas because their love for God was forceful enough that God intimately revealed himself to them fully. That means Krishna. That full revelation of God. And so sweet, and it's so beautiful. God opening his heart. What could be beautiful but God opening his heart, revealing himself, revealing his inner sentiments and love in a sweet variety of ways with so many devotees. And that's why I mentioned that before, that Raganuga Bhakti although it just means spontaneous love, and that can be towards anyone, but really it's Krishna, because Krishna has the force of beauty to attract love in such a way that there's nothing external to love, even a sense of obligation or duty or distance. So imagine how beautiful. It's like we're reading the descriptions today of Lord Chaitanya, his beautiful body and his garland, and Ajanu Lambita Bujo, his long arms. Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanika Vitaro. Kanika Vitaro, and his golden inflection. And he caught Sankirtanaitya Pitaro, and he's the father of Sankirtanaitya Pitaro, Kamalaya Daksho. And he has lotus eyes, very big eyes, extending more towards the ears, but not in a freakish way, but a very beautiful way. So Lord Chaitanya, how beautiful, and Krishna, how beautiful. And how the devotees become attached and loving, and their life becomes Krishna. And without Krishna, without Chaitanya, there's no life. There's no life. Because it's the thing that one can become attracted to the most, if one makes that decision and surrenders oneself to God in a loving relationship, then there's nothing more attractive than that. And therefore, there's nothing more difficult to give up. Right now, we're attracted to the samskaras, the different material things, and we can't imagine living without them. Although, as it says in the Yoga Sutras, all is suffering, and that includes pleasure. It's because it's temporary. And it is the eternal relationship with God. So naturally, Narada, now he's describing that beauty, and one way he describes that beauty is what it does to those even whom he punishes. Usually when you punish someone, they hate you. But even those who hate Krishna, whom Krishna punishes, wind up loving him. Because hate requires some, it's an emotion, so it requires some focus. It's like out of fear. You know, like if, let's say there was a deadly snake in your room and someone says, now meditate, but don't think of the snake. Or just say meditate. You think, why? Out of fear. It will constantly be in the conscious. So whatever emotion is there in relationship to Krishna, it means Krishna is constantly in the conscious. And he's so beautiful that he attracts the mind. And that's why it's recommended, Raganugabhati, that our practice should be done with some attachment. Because the purifying factor is Krishna. And when there's an attraction, the thoughts are more than if there's just an obligation or there's just a duty. Our bhakti is Raganugabhati. Raganuga bhakti is bhakti. It's attraction. It's absorption out of pure attachment. Not just obligation or duty, because it's a rule or you should do it. That's not absorption. Well, that helps absorption, but it's not pure absorption. So here, after glorifying Krishna and describing progressively how the demons are liberated, what to speak of the demons outside of Braj, like Chinura and Mishtika, who in wrestling embraced Krishna, or Kamsa, who thought about him here, what to speak about in Braj, when the demon Putana embraces baby Krishna and offers Krishna her breast. How intimate is that? Therefore, even when she dies, her body had a fragrance. And that was a Agasura. And I believe they used it because Krishna went right in Agasura's mouth. So these demons that enter into Vrindavan and Krishna dancing on the Kaliya serpent, the dust of his lotus feet. What is that experience? It's a transcendental experience. One becomes absorbed. He becomes beyond the modes, because the modes mean is the mind is thinking of enjoyment, and transcendence is the mind is thinking of Krishna, the supreme God. God is, it's just amazing what God means. Primeval being, the creator of all, the protector of all, the maintainer of all, who loves his devotees and is sweet, sweet, sweet. How wonderful is that? To have a relationship with Krishna. The Govardhan Puja is wonderful. There are thousands of people, hundreds of thousands going around the hill in some kind of mood of devotion. The place is surcharged with that spirit of love. And this morning I was chanting, and I faced Govardhan. And meditating on Govardhan, and meditating on some thoughts which I'll share with you. My japa journals will start coming out again. I was in Vrindavan taking people around, but spiritual life, becoming the object of pleasure for God by offering God love and trying to submit and serve the desires of the Supreme. It's a whole shift in consciousness rather than seeing everything else as the object of one's own enjoyment. So I wrote something on subject-object, how spiritual life needs to become the object. I was meditating on that, that really that's what a devotee has to do. A devotee has to look at everything as a service, has to serve everyone. That's what a Vaishnava is. And that's what satisfies the heart. I know myself, that's not what my consciousness is by nature. My consciousness by nature is looking at the world and my time and our things around me in terms of my own desires. I want to shift that now. I want to start looking consciously and go over it on because I'm chanting in the morning and I'm trying to do that. It's very nice. Even when I walked outside, I just want to, Giriraj is the center. I am the serving. What is his desire? I'm for that. I'm for him. I am yours. And seeing the devotees in the same mood. Anyway, Narada is tasting by this remembering Krishna and describing Krishna. And he's experiencing that sweetness because Krishna is not a physical thing or a materially physical thing. So we're not separated from Krishna by miles. We're separated from Krishna by consciousness. So when you have Krishna consciousness, a separation from Krishna, a devotion for Krishna, you are experiencing Krishna. And that comes in Krishna Katha, that comes in the Bhagavatam, which is not different than Krishna. It's Krishna in sound. And therefore, he's just thinking, with this one tongue, I am trying to glorify Krishna. Brahma could not glorify Krishna sufficiently with four tongues. And Ananta couldn't glorify Krishna successfully with unlimited tongues. So, why am I trying? It's so impotent. But the next verse, Narada very sweetly begins to speak to the tongue and offer a solution. Dear tongue, he then acknowledged, this effort of yours attests to your great fortune. As far as you are able, just go on speaking something about these beloved devotees. So, thinking, well, what can I really glorify Krishna? At least I can glorify the devotees. In other words, Purport is saying, Narada doesn't want to discourage the tongue, so he gave the practice advice. You cannot adequately praise Krishna, then at least praise his devotees. You cannot describe the devotees' transcendental glory, then simply describe their activity. You cannot describe everything about the activity, then just describe something. Even if you cannot speak with full realization, speak anyway. The attempt to say something to all of you is nothing more auspicious than glorifying God. You know, and we should all at least take an opportunity to say something about that. And we can attain the transcendental position. I've seen it happen so often sometimes in people in Vrindavan. I remember Mother Gauri. She came to leave her body. We began to read her the CC, and she just went to the transcendental platform. So glorious and obvious. Rise to another platform beyond the mind and body. Narada proposed this tongue. You should do better than glorify the Lord's devotees. Glorify the Lord. Although the greatness of the devotees is ultimately undescribable, Lord's greatness has no beginning or end. Beats all attempts at analysis and classification cannot be fully understood by the Lord himself. To Narada, however, the Lord's devotees appear similar to human beings. You've seen them, so his tongue should be described their needs. So this is also why it's sometimes easier in relationship with Lord Chaitanya to become as a devotee. If his tongue offends devotees by making false statements about them or by distorting his character, devotees don't make mistakes. Because devotees are always compassionate, fortunate person. Therefore, Narada recommends glorifying the Vaishnava as the best engagement for the tongue. So very, very practical advice. I remember at my Vyasa Puja, I asked people to meditate on a devotee that they appreciated. Think something about their qualities. Very, very powerful. It's a transference. That's why we hear about devotees. If we glorify them with appreciation, their qualities come to us. And because whatever their qualities are, they're fundamentally devotion. That the devotion comes to us and it's very satisfying. Sri Narada continued, a great saintly ponder is Sri Narada Bhuvacha, Mahanubhava, Gavatam Tukasne, Pati Sukamya, Priyatasasheisha, Bhavastu Tatyapi, Yavavishesha, Vishnana Vieta Sahena Jivam. Sri Narada continued, O greatly saintly Pandavas, is anyone bold enough to let his tongue to describe the unique lit love for Krishna that each of you has or the special mercy bestows upon you. Then, even though he says that, glorify the devotees, then when he's thinking of really what a devotee means and how a devotee has controlled Krishna by his love, the greatness of God is his personality, that he is loving, and therefore means when you're loving, it means you try to satisfy. Not only you try to satisfy, you want to satisfy. Not only you want to satisfy, you cannot help but satisfy the desires of your beloved, which means you are controlled by those desires. So God is controlled by the devotees. He's controlled by the devotees. So it's the devotees for love. What mercy such devotees have such love, because God just gives them his heart. We all love to be loved. We all like to be loved. It's the fundamental principle that we're trying to satisfy. And we all love the sweet, we all can think of the sweet relationships we have, and how there is nothing more satisfying to the heart. So what is that relationship with Krishna, and how satisfying it is to the heart? And a devotee who has that, how can anyone be more fortunate? And how can you describe that devotee's fortune and the mercy that that devotee gets? Commentary, feeling himself unfit, Narada indicates that only a shameless person would dare attempt to elaborate on the greatness of each of the Pandavas. But Narada cannot stop because his tongue is reluctant to speak about anything else and refuses to remain silent. I was in the garden in Dallas with Prabhupada, and in the evening, Prabhupada was just hearing the Krishna book. And it was very nice to see Prabhupada really relishing Krishna Katha. And this was a canto. So at one time, the gopis, they were criticizing Krishna, you know, because Krishna had left the Rasa dance and left them forlorn, and they were criticizing. Prabhupada was laughing. He said, even though they're upset with Krishna, they cannot stop talking about Krishna. It's like that sometimes. Sometimes it's a painful relationship and it's broken, and people just cannot stop talking. That love is there. The symptom of love is katha. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says the symptom of advancement is your desire to hear and talk about Krishna. That's the main symptom. Your desire to hear and talk about Krishna. That's your level of bhakti. That's why I do appreciate very much the class and the people that come on regularly. It's so nice. Want to hear about Krishna. So, Narada can't stop. And when you're in the association of an advanced devotee, that's it. They just want to glorify Krishna. That's why nice. I mean, when we go in and we all sit with Vaisheshika Prabhu, you can see he's advanced. He only wants to talk about Krishna. Only wants to talk about Krishna. And it's kind of contagious, actually. And you can, it's building up. I see the same devotees there night after night. They sit for 3 hours. and they're experiencing it based on something. Because it's attractive when a devotee is in love with Krishna and therefore wants to hear and chant about Krishna. This is Narada. It sounds like a war outside, but I think it's kind of Govardhan Puja, Diwali, and I guess they do the fireworks thing. I'm going to stop now today. Are there any questions? Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hey, Nanda Dula, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, thank you very much. You know, from Govardhan you are speaking. My heart is at your talk, you know, all the time, you know, particularly today, because we celebrated yesterday Diwali. Maharaj, you know, I thank you for bringing, you know, Abhishek Shikhar Prabhu. I actually had talk with him a couple of times, you know, in Japa meditation. He's an excellent devotee. There is no question. I appreciate, you know, that you really appreciate, you know, and understood, you know, somebody. And thank, you know, your God brother in this way.
Yes, thank you, yeah. And Shayad, wait, this song is there.
Oh, please pay my obeisances to him, you know. I'm sending him an email, you know. I thought, you know, whether he can.
Okay. Yeah, he's relishing every evening. Just sits there, and, you know, it's so sweet, too. And the kirtans by this, my godbrother, hubby, is so sweet, too. Yeah, that's our life, and Prabhupada gave us life. And we have to try to share it with others and try to create the opportunities for that chanting and hearing, you know. That's so important. I mean, that's really what ISKCON means. International Society, the Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavatomati. That's Krishna consciousness. And that's done by what? Machita Machita Prana Bodhiyantas Parasparam. What do devotees do? They enlighten one another. That's what they do. That's what a society of devotees is. That's their main activity. Of course, there must be some discussion on, you know, structures to distribute that and maintain that. But that's only effective if the main activity among the members, especially those who are organizing and leading, is getting a real taste for Krishna. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't work. It is, yeah. Okay, thank you, Nanda Dula.
Maharaj, I have a small question. You know, you mentioned...
Go ahead.
Maharaj.
Go ahead.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Yogiraj is being worshipped. What happened? You gave it up?
No, I'm worshipping.
Oh.
I'm worshipping, no, but... Now, Giriraj has his own house.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
So it's so suitable for his worship. I mean, there's a half-acre garden. It's not mine, but I'm the only one that lives in this complex. There's a half-acre garden with all flowers, the Giriraj, and then, you know, I have a kitchen right next to the altar where I can cut up fruits and offer things very nicely, and everything's there, so the worship is nice, yeah. Okay, thank you, Nandula.
Thank you.
Mahamudi? Yeah, Marsh. I waited before because I kind of feel guilty about always jumping the gun, so I do have a question. You were talking about the fact or the idea that, or the experience that sometimes it seems like it may be easier to relate to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he took the role of a devotee. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so I guess I'm wondering, sometimes I feel like one downside of the fact that we have so many wonderful paintings of Sri Krishna and his pastimes is sometimes my mental image of Krishna is like a cartoon. And sometimes I feel like Krishna's Leela is so different from the kind of experience that I'm familiar with that it does seem sometimes harder to connect with than Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Do you think that's normal, or is that, or I don't know.
I think the thing he said here is that, you know, it's easy to relate to the devotee, Narada said, you know? Mm-hmm. He said the devotee's glories are unlimited, Krishna's devotee's glories are unlimited, but it's easier to relate with the devotee. So if Lord Chaitanya came as a devotee, it may be easier. But in terms of Krishna's pastimes, they are very real, but you have to get into the mood and bhava of them. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely real. You know, if it's just, you know, if it's just, in other words, when we go to these holy places and we talk about the pastime, there's an experience there. You know, there's a bhav, an experience of devotion that comes from hearing the pastimes of particular places. That's what gives the relevance, I think, you know. And without that component, which sometimes we can lose when we're not intensely engaged in devotional service, without that element, then it you know, in other words, you have to see with the heart, and you know that also affects our vision. In other words, if you just Krishna's pastimes empirically, you know. It will be hard to understand, no doubt. You know, and therefore it says, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Galojanena.
Thank you. You too.
Mooney, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I think someone else's phone's unmuted. We're having a conversation or saying hello or something. I don't know. I didn't. I'm right.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Even each gracious and Upena is one. You know, we come to this world, you know, based on duality and, you know, desire and hate. You know, so it's really something with consciousness and perception. And without that element, I mean, you know, people see something, but the same thing is seen in so many different ways by people, you know. So there has to be another element there in the perception. Otherwise, like, you're right, it can just seem mythological. You know, I'm hearing Govardhan on this, you know? Mm-hmm. So everything seems so real, you know, because of the intensity of the month, the intensity of the chanting, the intensity of the association. But at the same sense, the realization I get is the reality of it revealed by that process, you know, and even myself, you know, when I'm in the West, or it doesn't have to be the West, or even in India, when you're not as focused and absorbed, your perception changes. So, yeah.
No, that makes sense, Mark.
Yeah.
I just appreciate it. I mean, I do find myself, too, that when I do feel like it's incredibly far away, I do try to remember experiences in the Dham that kind of, you know, brought together the two worlds, you know, my world and Krishna's world, and I try to cling to that. So thank you for that.
I mean, it becomes such a reality, you know, and you're happy for that. Yeah, I think we experienced that, yeah. Okay, thanks, Mooney. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Please accept our humble.
Is that Carl and Stella?
Yes. Hi, Bo.
Thank you.
Great to hear
from you. And I heard you may be in this part of the world soon. I guess we're going to China, maybe, but I don't know. Something.
We should be there in February.
You'll be where? In Vrindavan?
In February.
When in February? I'm leaving the 23rd, so I hope it's before then.
It will be before then. I think in the teens.
Okay, well, at least we'll get to spend some time together. I'll be looking forward to it.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
We'll be back at that time, too. So we'll have a great time. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Shastra Das.
Hi, Bo. Shastra, I just met Krishna Kund and Madhavananda.
Oh, wonderful.
I'll speak to you about that. But, you know, so they'll probably, you know, get another hotel because, as you know, the price of the old one we went for,
right,
kind of gone through the roof. So, you know, we'll find something. Okay, nice. Okay.
Well, your class makes me want to return to India more than ever. Thank you so much.
Oh, great, Shastra. Look forward to seeing you.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry, how do you go? Great. Somehow or other in Washington, I just got three letters from people in D.C. that I don't even met, that people refer to them, me, you know, that they want to come to Vrindavan and see Vrindavan. And I got another nice letter from that lady that came over that was the chief psychologist of one university and things, and inviting me, for, you know, to speak at her center. And so, I was thinking of you. Okay, Henry, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Hi, Bo. Govardhan, thank you. Nice to hear from you. And you were just here in Vrindavan. So I'm with Krishna, who took you around. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna, Gail. Thank you for being on and sharing with us this Krishna Gita, hearing and chanting. When are you coming, Gail?
No idea, Maharaj. But it was nice hearing a nice reminder that your experience is informed by your attachment, you know. Yeah, it just somehow it just had a particular, you know, I don't know, deepen a realization or understanding or something, you know, that you the way you experience life depends upon your attachments, including your attachment for Krishna.
It does. How true it is. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Eka Chakra. Thank you for the class.
Eka Chakra, how are you?
How are you?
I just spoke to Madhavananda today.
Yeah.
And he wants to do some kind of book or article on Gaudiya Kirtan. I told him about you. He may contact you, see if you'd like to write something or give one of your old articles.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Great that you're on listening. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Hare Krishna, Bharati, thank you. So it's nice that you and Govardhan are listening. Thank you. And now I remember to see Krishna took you around, so I'm going to remind him I'll see him tonight. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we're ending a little bit early today. So nice to hear from all of you. Thank you so much. Bunch of call for the Lucas, Josh, at the phone page. So.